Our Heavenly Father, when He created this world, He created sunlight, pure air, water, and all the natural environment, beautiful food. And He created it so that it would be health-giving and life-giving. When man has come along, he's dearranged it. He stays indoors, out of the sunlight. He breathes the air that is not the fresh air. And he eats the food that has been remanufactured and changed and refined. And somehow, the health has gone out of the natural environment that we live in. Now last night, we showed the wheel of health. What goes into making up good health? The use of water, rest, temperance, exercise, pure air, proper diet, and sunlight. And when any one of these natural remedies is lost, the body starts to suffer and starts to break down so that we don't have the good health that we really should. Now, God is working through these agencies. It is He who created them. And it's just as much a miracle when we recover our health as it is if God works the miracle Himself. Because God is working through these natural agencies. He's put His power into the natural food and into the charged air, the fresh air, and into the sunlight. So that the power working through these is really the creative power of God. Now this morning I'd like to spend some time looking a little bit more into some of these natural remedies to see what power there is there that God has put so that we may obtain healing. First of all, let's look at sunlight. Even the scripture speaks of the sunlight, the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in His wings, symbolizing Christ as a healing factor, the sun symbolizing Christ. Well, last night we spent some time on the infectious diseases and how sunlight actually increased the white blood cells and how it actually cured tuberculosis and many other infectious diseases. I'd like just to touch on cancer this morning because there's some exciting things about sunlight and cancer. Some researchers were trying to figure out just why sunlight caused skin cancer. And they took experimental animals, and they, of course, would have to put them on a refined, high-fat diet to produce the skin cancer. But they were always able to produce skin cancer in these animals, and they wondered if there was an association between the cancer that the sunlight caused and cancer that would be deep in the internal organs. So they found an experimental group of animals that always developed lung cancer. They just seemed to hereditarily develop this disease. And so they took these animals and they exposed them to ultraviolet light, to the sunlight, to see if they could make this cancer worse or come earlier. Well, sunlight, it causes skin cancer. It may even contribute to causing other types of cancers. May accelerate these other types of cancers. So they expose these animals that would normally be getting their lung cancer day after day to the sunlight treatments. And when it came time for these animals to develop their lung cancer, they couldn't find any lung cancer. And weeks and months went by and these animals wouldn't develop the lung cancer. Well, that's strange. We just picked a bad set of animals here. Let's get some animals that really develop a cancer that's a little more representative. So they found a group of animals that always develop breast cancer. At so many months of age, about 8, 9 months of age, these experimental animals would develop breast cancer, just almost 100%. And then they took these animals and exposed them to the sunlight, day after day, week after week. And when it came time for these animals to develop their breast cancer, they couldn't get these animals to develop the breast cancer either. Months and months went by after they were supposed to develop this. An uncanny effect in preventing cancer in the deep internal organs. Sunlight. Now this afternoon we'll spend some time showing what it is about our diet that really contributes towards the formation of skin cancer. And how that if we eat the natural diet that God has given to us, that we would have no fear of developing skin cancer or aging of the skin. Certainly God did not create a sun up in the sky that would cause His children to age and to develop cancer. It's certainly something that we have done that has caused this problem. Years ago, many children who lived in the big cities developed a disease known as rickets. And these children would live in the slum areas, the high buildings. The sunlight would never get in. And if it could get in, many times these cities would burn coal and there'd be a heavy pallor of smoke over the city all the time so that the sun rays could never get through. Well, these children developed rickets, a disease from a lack of sunlight. The sunlight strikes the skin. It actually changes cholesterol in the tissues into vitamin D. And it's very well controlled so that the body only allows just that amount that it needs. And you can never get an overdose of vitamin D by getting out in the sun. You can get an overdose by taking vitamin D capsules, but never by getting out in the sun. Now these children that would develop this problem rickets were easily cured if they were taken out in the sunlight. But the sunlight was changing the cholesterol in their bodies into vitamin D. Well, this didn't seem to really register in the mind of the scientists at the time. And 30 or 40 years later, after they discovered that it was the sunlight that changed the cholesterol into vitamin D, one researcher said, well, I wonder how much cholesterol is being changed into the vitamin D. Now, I'm going to find out. So he took a large group of people and he drew their blood and checked the cholesterol. And then he took them outside, gave them a sun bath. He didn't allow them to burn. That's one rule we have. When we use the sun, we never burn. But he took these people out in the sun and gave them a sun bath. And then he brought them back in, and within 2 hours, he drew their blood cholesterols again. And when he averaged up the drop that he found he discovered that there was an average of a 13% drop in blood cholesterol following one single exposure to the sunlight within 2 hours of time. 13% drop, a fantastic drop. It seems like that cholesterol is changed in massive amounts. Now, not only is it changed into cholesterol, into vitamin D, but it's changed into other products too. So that when the cholesterol is turned into these other products, they seem to, let me draw you a diagram here of cholesterol. We'll just abbreviate it C-H-O-L. It goes into a substance called pre-vitamin D. Now, pre-vitamin D is also acted on by the sunlight. This requires sun here to change the cholesterol into pre-vitamin D. And the pre-vitamin D is also acted on by sunlight to form a substance known as lumesterol. I'll just abbreviate it L-U-M because that's a big scientific word. And also, another substance that the sunlight acts on called tacosterol. And I'll just abbreviate that too. And then, the pre-vitamin D can be changed into vitamin D, but not by sunlight. This is changed by the body heat. And it takes about 24 hours for the pre-vitamin D, for about half of it to be changed into vitamin D. That is, what is left here of the pre-vitamin D that hasn't been changed by the sunlight into these other substances that are used by the body. So you can see that there's many reactions in the skin that are taking place. And it's just not cholesterol being changed into the vitamin D. So there seems to be massive amounts of cholesterol that are changed in the skin. And the very interesting thing is the cholesterol is not stagnant in your body. It is constantly in motion. It is moving from the skin into the blood vessels and into the blood. And from there it's being carried out into the liver. And then into the intestine. And it's constantly moving so that it never stagnates. So if you decrease it in one area, like in the skin, it moves from the blood to replace that which is lost in the skin. So that's a very fine way that you can lower your blood cholesterol, is getting out in the sunlight. Well, this information seems to have been ignored. How much cholesterol could actually be moved from the bloodstream by sunlight? But the Russians seem to have picked up this information. And recently, the Russian literature has been telling us how much patients are being benefited by getting out in the sun when they have hardening of the arteries. And they take patients who have hardening of the arteries in their brains. Their memories are getting short. They're getting senile. They're having other problems of dizziness and other abnormal conditions because of the cholesterol deposits that are building up in their brain and cutting off the circulation. These patients, they take them out in the sunlight week by week and month by month, and they start making improvement. Their memories start to come back. They start to think better. Their dizziness goes. And then the Russians said, well, if it works so good in cerebral problems, what would it do for heart problems? And so they took a group of patients who had had heart attacks. They had their arteries plugged up with cholesterol. They had abnormal electrocardiograms. And these Russian investigators took these patients and took them out in the sunlight, week by week, month by month. And it wasn't very long until they began to notice some strange things were now happening to the electrocardiograms. They were turning from abnormal into normal electrocardiograms from sunlight. A very powerful tool when we use it properly. Not only have the Russians discovered that sunlight is very effective in treating the chronic degenerative diseases, but they have discovered that it actually has an effect upon the intestine also. It soothes the intestine and relaxes it. So that people that have spastic problems with their bowel, people that have ulcers, seem to be helped tremendously by the sunlight. Other countries, other researchers in other countries are finding out the same thing, that the sunlight has an effect upon the intestinal system, and they're actually treating ulcers with sunlight. One of the most exciting areas that sunlight seems to be involved in has been reported in our own literature here in the United States. In fact, in the Journal of the American Medical Association, there was an article just a few years back showing how sunlight will actually reduce your blood pressure. Why it works, they're not sure, but it does work, and it seems to have a physiologic effect. So that the higher your blood pressure, the greater the drop in your blood pressure. So the people that have very high blood pressures, they may get as much as a 40 millimeter drop in their blood pressure from just one single exposure to sunlight. People who do not have very high blood pressure, the drop is less. And people who have low blood pressure, it may even bring it up a little bit and equalize it. Now, the Journal of the American Medical Association makes this statement about the effect of sunlight. The maximal depression of blood pressure is gradually reached in about 24 hours, and low pressure values may persist for several days. It takes about 24 hours for the maximal drop in your blood pressure. But then for several days, and in other literature we find out that for as long as 5 and 6 days following the exposure to the sun, the blood pressure will be down. Another interesting thing about the sunlight that was also reported here in the Journal of the American Medical Association is its effect upon blood sugar. When diabetics who have high blood sugars are exposed to the sunlight, It causes the blood sugar to go down. And it seems to almost have an insulin-like effect in the body. The blood sugar is decreased just like insulin does. And just like insulin puts that blood sugar into the tissues and stores it as glycogen, the sunlight seems to do the same thing. The glycogen stores in the liver and in the muscles are greatly increased following sunlight. Now, we'll come back to that in just a moment. But that's an important thing for diabetics to know. How that the sunlight can actually lower their blood sugar. And diabetics always seem to suffer from atherosclerosis and hardening of the arteries, elevated cholesterol and blood fat levels more than other people. They seem to get more heart attacks and strokes. And here we have the sunlight that seems to be very effective in lowering the cholesterol level and lowering the blood pressure, as well as the blood sugar. An area that we seem to be increasingly concerned about is pollution. Our air, our water, our food seems to be polluted with heavy metals, pesticides, and other noxious chemicals. Some interesting experiments were done where they took two groups of experimental animals. One group, they let stay in their regular laboratory cages with the normal environmental lighting. Another group, they exposed to the sunlight, gave them sunlight treatments every day for a couple of weeks. And then they gave both groups of animals some noxious chemicals, a lethal dose that would kill those animals, like lead or mercury or heavy doses of pesticides or other chemicals. The group that was on the indoor lighting, they all succumbed. But the group that was getting the sunlight treatments, they survived and lived. Sunlight stimulates an enzyme way down deep in the liver called a drug metabolizing enzyme. And that drug metabolizing enzyme, when it builds up to a good high level, does exactly what the name implies. It metabolizes and gets rid of the drugs. It has a very effective way of doing this. And it can move some of those noxious chemicals out of the body up to 1,000 times faster than the animals who did not get the sunlight exposures. Other chemicals, it doesn't move out quite as rapidly. Like lead, it only moves them out twice as fast. But they seem to have an effect upon all the different chemicals. Those beautiful rays of sunlight. Physical fitness is an area that I always like to talk about, always like to stress, how that our circulation is so improved by getting out and getting the exercise. And there's so much written about a good exercise program now that I really don't want to spend a lot of time this morning in the area of physical fitness. It's an area that's quite popular nowadays. You see joggers running up and down the street. But I would like to bring in some information about sunlight as it relates to physical fitness. Because for every benefit that you can show from exercise, I can take you to the scientific literature and show you the exact same benefit from exposure to the sun. We hear of how your cholesterol and your triglycerides will drop If you get on a good exercise program, sunlight will do the same thing. We hear how diabetics, people that have high blood sugar, when they get out and exercise, their blood sugar drops. They can burn off that sugar. Sunlight does the same thing. People that exercise, they seem to be able to store more glycogen in their liver and in their muscles. People that sunbathe can do the same thing. People that exercise seem to have more endurance. People that sunbathe seem to have more endurance, and we'll come back to that in just a moment. People that exercise, their resting pulse rate decreases. Their respiratory rate decreases. Their heart has to work less. People that sunbathe, the same thing has been noticed, that their pulse rate actually starts to drop as the weeks and the months go by that they've been out in the sunlight. Seems to have a beautiful effect in increasing the physical fitness. Well, one researcher, when he saw this, he said, I'm going to really set up a good experiment. And this was Dr. Thomas Cureton from the University of Illinois. Many of you have probably read some of his works, heard his name. But Dr. Cureton started in the winter quarter there at the University of Illinois. And he took a large group of freshman students and he gave them all physical fitness tests. And he knew just where each student was as far as their physical abilities and strength and power, endurance and agility and flexibility and balance. And then Dr. Cureton divided these groups into two different areas. One group, he let them live just the normal way that they would live. And it was cold in Chicago and they wouldn't get the sunlight during the winter time, and he knew that. And the other group, he gave sunlight treatments to. Every day, these students would come in and get sunlight treatments. Now, at the end of the quarter, he repeated the physical fitness test. And he tested these students again for balance and power and flexibility and agility and endurance. And Dr. Cureton, when he sat down and tabulated the results, he found out that the group of students that lived the normal student life, they had made about a 2% gain in their overall physical fitness. Even though they were taking a good, heavy physical education program. And the group of students who were getting the sunlight treatments, they had made a 20% increase in their overall physical fitness. The sunlight seems to feed the muscles. Was something that the ancient Greeks knew. And for their athletes who were training for the Olympic events, they would get them out on the sun. Get them out in the sun, on the sand, where they would get lots of reflection of those ultraviolet rays. And these athletes would seem to improve remarkably well as they would carry on with their sunbathing program. This information was again noted during the time that they were treating tuberculosis with sunlight around the turn of the century. The observers that would come into these sanitariums would see these emaciated tuberculosis patients coming in. Nothing but skin and bones. These poor patients would come in and they would start sunbathing. Week after week, month after month, they would lie there out in the sun. And as the observers would watch these people from time to time, they would notice that after they had been there for a number of months, that these patients, their muscles began to fill out. And they were becoming well-muscled. A good set of muscles on these patients. And yet they were lying out there in the sun. They weren't muscle building. They weren't out exercising vigorously. They were lying in the sun. We could go into many other research reports from around the world about the effects of sun and physical fitness. Let's go on and spend a little time in the area of arthritis. Just one case history, and there's many in the scientific literature. One physician told of a patient who was so crippled up by arthritis, the crippling kind of arthritis. Joints were almost frozen, swollen and red and so sore. The patient was bound to a wheelchair. And this physician took this patient and gradually started exposing them to the sun. Day by day, more and more sunlight. Week by week, month by month. And as the weeks and the months went by, this patient demonstrated a gradual increase in his ability to move his arms and his legs. Range of motion started increasing. And it wasn't very many months until this patient was walking and moving his joints normally and made a complete and full recovery. Now, this isn't hard to understand when we see that the arthritis that causes this terrible crippling disease may be caused by an infectious agent. And how effective the sunlight is in improving the whole immune system so that it can fight off these infectious agents. Sunlight is one of the most effective ways of helping the arthritis patient. Well, before we leave sunlight, I'd like to just mention that sunlight also has an effect in increasing the circulation in the body. The heart output. For every beat of the heart, there seems to be a tremendous increase in the amount of blood that the heart beats following a series of exposures to the sunlight. Physicians give certain drugs like digitalis to get this same effect. But here we get it with sunlight. And not only is the amount of blood increased with every heartbeat, but the ability of that blood to carry oxygen is dramatically increased so that there's more oxygen out there in the tissues following a good sunbathing program. Well, just one statement from a health educator that I'd like to read to you about the sunlight. Ladies, if you wish to be strong and healthy and desire to possess true beauty and not the sentimental shadow of it, seek the glorious God-given sunlight. Fear not to look old King Sol in the face. Sunlight is one of the best tonics and beautifiers in the world. Therefore, men, women, and children, one and all, should seek it as one of the great natural agencies which help to form the elixir of life. Let's spend just a moment in the area of oxygen and breathing again. Last night we mentioned that there's two different kinds of air. That which has a charge on it that you find out of doors, and that which you don't, that is indoors, that is stale and does not have the vitality to it. We mentioned experiment how animals improved greatly and the rate that the cancer grew when they were given this charged air. The cancer hardly seemed to grow at all versus the group that were getting the stale air. Now, there's many experiments that have been done showing how this charged air is very helpful for asthmas and allergy patients. How that it seems to have an effect way down in the adrenal gland. So that when you give experimental animals the indoor air that has lost its charge, their adrenal glands start to go downhill. And as you know, the adrenal glands help you to overcome stress. And if you don't have good functioning adrenal glands, you cannot tolerate stress and you just seem to want to come all apart when you get in a stressful situation. Well, when they give these experimental animals the charged air to breathe, the vitalized outdoor air, they seem to be able to cope with stress. They seem to be able to take it much better. And their adrenal glands become enlarged and can put out those hormones that protect the body from stress. Humans have been tested, giving them the different kinds of air to breathe. They give them the stale air to breathe. And these humans will complain of a general poor feeling, maybe a little headache, just generally don't feel good. And then without these patients knowing it that are breathing this air, they give them the charged air to breathe. And unbelievably, in really good controlled trials, these patients now seem to have a feeling of euphoria. They feel good. They have a good outlook on life. Maybe some of you have noticed this when you go out of doors and get that fresh air out of doors. It just seems to make you feel good. It does have an effect upon our psychological makeup. Well, some interesting experiments were done in the area of cancer. And we just mentioned one study, and I'd like to mention one other, where one researcher took some normal cells out of an experimental animal and took these normal cells and put them on a culture plate where they could grow. And as the days went by, these cells would grow normally and divide and multiply. And then this researcher took those cells and placed them in an environment where the oxygen was poor. Not very much oxygen. And then after a couple of days, he looked at those cells under the microscope and it gave him an uneasy feeling. Those cells look to me like they're cancer cells. Well, he said that couldn't be. Those cells were taken out of a healthy animal and they certainly couldn't be cancerous. Well, he tried it again with a new animal, new cells. And he took the cells and he split them. So the one group he kept so that he knew that he'd keep them where they had plenty of oxygen. And they stayed healthy. They didn't turn into cells that looked like cancer cells. And the other group, when he lowered the oxygen in the environment, sure enough, they look like cancer cells. Well, he said they couldn't be cancer cells. Cancer must be caused by other things than just a lack of oxygen. So he took these cells and he injected them back into the animal that he took them out of. And it wasn't very many months until a malignant tumor had destroyed that animal. And then he said, well, if animal tissues are this way, if they will turn cancerous if they don't get enough oxygen, what about human tissues? So he took some cells from a human, some normal cells, and he put them in an environment where there wasn't very much oxygen. And this researcher was absolutely flabbergasted when after several days, those cells became malignant, became cancerous, all from a lack of oxygen. Well, you can understand why it's so vitally important for us to get that vital oxygen down into our tissues. Atherosclerosis and hardening of the arteries. Researchers have taken experimental animals and developed atherosclerosis and hardening of the arteries in these animals by feeding them a poor diet, until their arteries were caked with cholesterol and fat. And then they took these animals and they gave them extra oxygen to breathe. And after a number of months, when they examined their arteries, they were absolutely amazed that these arteries had now cleaned themselves out. The atherosclerosis had reversed itself. Extra oxygen. And many researchers and scientists feel that it's a lack of oxygen out there into those arteries and tissues that is the cause of atherosclerosis and hardening of the arteries. And you remember last night our slide of how the red blood cells clump together and can't deliver their supply of oxygen. When you're using fat, a high-fat diet, you're going to cut down. And that may be one mechanism how a high-fat diet can accelerate the formation of cancer. Interestingly enough, when extra oxygen is given to human beings, their cholesterol level seems to drop. Well, what does cholesterol have to do with getting oxygen out into your tissues? It has a lot to do with it. When cholesterol builds up in your bloodstream, it gets into the red blood cell and forms a real thick membrane on that red blood cell. Now, the normal red blood cell has no problem at all releasing a lot of oxygen out into the tissues. The happy, healthy red blood cell. But what happens when you get a high cholesterol in your blood? And by a high cholesterol, I'm not speaking of an average American cholesterol. Those are all too high. When you go and see your doctor and he says, oh, don't worry, your cholesterol is 220, 230, 240, 280, 300, and it's normal. Don't worry about it. Those are average cholesterols from people who were dying of atherosclerosis and strokes and cancer and all kinds of other degenerative diseases. Is that where you want your cholesterol to be? Most assuredly not. If we look at statistics from around the world, from countries who do not develop these diseases, we see that a much better cholesterol would be down below about 150. And if you understand a little physiology about life and sunlight and deep breathing and oxygen and a proper diet, it's very easy to bring your cholesterol down to below 150. Well, let's take a look at a red blood cell now. Here's the poor patient who has a high cholesterol, but it's still an average American cholesterol. His red cell is handicapped by the cholesterol, and he releases very little oxygen out into the tissues. Now, you can understand that as people get older, their cholesterol levels usually rise. And their arteries get harder so that their blood is not able to get out into their tissues. Their arteries get plugged up with cholesterol. And it's not long until you're getting very little oxygen out there into the tissues. And this gives you just a little bit of understanding of why older people seem to get a much greater incidence of cancer. You get up into your 50s and 60s, that's when the real high incidence of cancer comes on. When your circulation is cut down, when you're getting much less oxygen out into your tissues, you've given up on exercise, you just sit around and read the paper and watch television. The oxygen and deep breathing not only has an effect in the diseases of elevated cholesterol and cancer, but also deep breathing and proper breathing of the right kind of air has an effect in lowering the blood pressure also. And it seems like every one of these natural remedies that we're talking about zeroes right in on those chronic degenerative diseases that we suffer from as a people. If you don't believe that deep breathing and proper breathing will lower your blood cholesterol or lower your blood pressure, you have a friend. Take your blood pressure, if you have high blood pressure, and then you take in about 8 or 10 nice, big, deep breaths. And then have them measure the blood pressure again. And you will be amazed with the drop you get in blood pressure with just a few minutes of time and learning to breathe and breathe deeply. And of course, when you breathe, you want to learn to breathe with your abdomen, with your diaphragm. These muscles up here in your chest are accessory muscles of respiration. The main muscle is down here, so that when you breathe in, your abdomen should come out a little way. That's the proper kind of breathing where you pull the air all the way down through your lungs. It's an important concept to learn how to breathe properly. And what's more, the kind of air that you breathe. Not only can you lower your blood pressure by just taking in much deeper breaths of the inside air, but if you get that vital outdoor air, it has an additional effect in lowering your blood pressure. Before we close this session, I'd like to just spend just a moment in the area of nutrition, because this is a vital area in helping us to understand the natural remedies. A group of researchers went out to a reconditioning center where they were using a simple, natural diet. No refined foods, no sugars, no refined proteins, no refined oils. And this group of researchers went out from Loma Linda University and they went out to study this reconditioning center. And they looked at these patients before they started the program. And then they followed them over a period of about 4 weeks to see what effect this simple natural diet would have upon these people. And I'd just like to read you a few statements that this university group made following their study. Overweight patients lost an average of 10 pounds apiece, and really obese ones lost an average of 13. 85.3% of the patients with high blood pressure were able to quit taking drugs, yet their blood pressure levels remained lower than when they were on the drugs. They were off their drugs, and yet their blood pressures were lower than when they were on the drugs. Cholesterol levels dropped an average of 26% in the group. Blood fat levels plunged by 25%. About 40% of the patients with diabetes were completely off of insulin after just 3 or 4 weeks. Many severely heart patients, able to walk only a few yards before joining the program, walked an average of 155 miles each during a 3 or 4 week stay. Another study with the same group of patients was done by another professor from San Diego State University, and he studied their psychological change. He gave them a test before and another test after their 4 week stay in this program. And here's what he found out. Patients were mentally sharper after going on the diet. They became more efficient, thought faster and more clearly, did mental arithmetic quicker, and were more fluent. Amazing. Just changing their diet and using the simple, unrefined, natural foods that God has made for us and given to us. God's remedies truly are wonderful. They're powerful. They work. And my friends, we need to learn more and more about these natural remedies because of the very power of God working through them to heal us. I thank you very much.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.